Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. We conclude then today, this Easter morning, with our series that we've been doing throughout the Lenten series. So we behold the man today. Last night we beheld the man who is God who died. And today we behold the man who died and now lives. His heart was stopped, but again pulses with vigor. From his side water and blood had flowed, showing that he was dead. Now courses through his body a fresh supply of blood, well oxygenated by his lungs now filled with air. His eyes were closed in death, but now are open. His hands had been nailed, but now all 10 fingers open before picking up the grave cloth and folding them ever so neatly and placing them back with care. His feet had dragged lifelessly as his body was placed into the tomb, but now they reach to the ground and plant 10 living toes in the soil, in the cool dirt. His skin had cooled to the ambient temperature of the stone and dirt grave, but now it radiates heat and warmth. Though it still possesses 5 distinct wounds with nails and spears, behold the man, Jesus the Christ, the God-man, who died and now lives never to die again. As soon as day began to break after that Sabbath had ended, the women went to the tomb. There surely was a sign of relief at first, for they had worried about the stone, who would roll it away, and then it's gone. And just as soon as that relief hit, I'm sure, well, confusion hit as well. What had happened? Who had rolled it away? And now they are perplexed as they enter the tomb and find Jesus missing, and 2 men in dazzling apparel who are also perplexed, but they are perplexed as to why the women are worried. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" they ask. "He is not here, but is risen." So these angels strive to refresh the women's catechesis. "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the 3rd day rise?" And the women, as good Lutherans, responded, "This is most certainly true." Then the women remembered and they ran and they told the disciples. You see, what Jesus told Martha outside the tomb of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked that very pointed question, "Do you believe this?" This is what makes the angel's question, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" really hit home. When the women reached the disciple, the news sounds to them as foolishness. Oddly enough, they needed some catechesis as well. But these words seem to them as idle tales. This is still true today. The news of the resurrection was unbelievable to the disciples. And oddly enough, of the 11 that are left living, only 2 bother to go and investigate. John and Peter. Off they run, even though they thought it was an idle tale. How amazing that is. I call it apathy. Entrenched ignorance, possibly. But sad to say that many who even call themselves Christian today reject the resurrection of Jesus. It makes no sense to me at all. Our epistle lessons that we've been reading, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we are to be pitied above all people. If our hope is only in this life, we are in a real big hurt. And yet, I think only 40-some-odd% of Christians today actually believe that Jesus rose from the dead anymore. Is that scary? They need their catechesis refreshed. Perhaps it is because they don't want it to be true, because it will interfere with their choices. you see, with their wants and the desires, with enjoying their best life now. With the new used car I bought, it had some free XM radio use for me. So I'm listening to some channels I've never listened to, and they've been constantly advertising Joel Osteen's Easter service. It might as well have been Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. See Christ rise from the dead. See Truckzilla open the tomb. It's all possible if you believe. Well, maybe Tinkerbell will come back to life and everything will be great. But Joel is not preaching the resurrection this morning. That would interfere with your best life now. We try to enjoy the culture of death in which we live, for we want death. It's what we chose. Adam and Eve were given that choice in the garden, and they chose death over life. Our culture promotes death as a positive. The strong are encouraged to eliminate the weak. Mothers are persuaded that it is more convenient to kill their unborn child rather than face the responsibility of being a parent. Vengeance is ours, saith the flesh. Suicide, well, at least assisted suicide, is viewed as a noble and romantic thing. Divorce is seen as a convenience. After all, happiness at all costs is the mantra of this culture of death. Efficacy is our idol, and nothing is more efficacious than death, or efficient than death, excuse me. I want to read you a quote today. This comes from the writings of the earliest Christians that is not biblical, but it's still from the first century. It's from a writing called the Didache. You can actually get a copy of this for free, I know, in your Kindle, if you'd like to read the Didache yourself. But this is from chapter 4. The first century compilation of teachings of the apostles, as they describe the culture of death like this. And the way of death is this. First of all, it is evil and full of curse. Murder, adulteries, lust, fornications, thefts, idolatries, magic arts, witchcraft, rapines, false witnessing, hypocrisies, double-heartedness, deceit, haughtiness, depravity, self-will, greediness, filthy talking, jealousy, overconfidence, loftiness, boastfulness, persecutors of the good, hating truth, loving a lie, not knowing a reward for righteousness, but not cleaving to good nor to righteous judgment, watching not for that which is good, but for that which is evil, from whom meekness and endurance are far, loving vanities, pursuing requital, not pitying a poor man, not laboring for the afflicted, not knowing him that made them, murderers of children, destroyers of the handiwork of God, turning away from him that is in want, afflicting him that is distressed, advocates of the rich, lawless judges of the poor, utter sinners. Be delivered, children, from all of this. First century, and nothing has changed. This is what the scriptures mean when it says there is nothing new under the sun. Who has not bought into this evil way of thinking? The message of the empty tomb calls the culture of death to repent. Death does not become you, you see. It was a culture of death that drove the first humans to rebel against the source of life, their creator. And the day you eat of it, you will surely die, God told them. They will die forever, since you have been inclined towards death rather than life. And we see death as an unavoidable end to our lives, as our sinful nature seeks to destroy both the Creator and His creation. And then what happened? You know the account. God, who had created them with His Word, who had scooped Adam from the fresh, fertile Adam, the soil, the earth, who had planted a garden called Eden and put his humans in the garden to care for it and tend it, having indulged on the seventh day in his perfect Sabbath of his, they chose death. Since then, the tension between Creator and sinful mankind has been a clash of life versus death. And this morning, we join in celebrating that life wins. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And it has conquered death forever. So there we are, at the dawn of the God-man's resurrection, in the fresh rays of the new dawn, basking in the glow of life, overcoming the shadow of death, and undoing a culture of death through the sacrament and song, beholding the man who rose from the dead to obliterate death's stranglehold on his good creation. So behold the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who gives his life. Believe in his bodily resurrection, for in it is your bodily resurrection. And it has already begun for you as you were born from above anew in the waters of holy baptism, but not completed until his return. Behold the man who answers the culture of death begun by the first man by immersing himself into the dying hands of man. Behold the man whose death has destroyed death. Behold the man, the only man, the only begotten Son of God, with the authority to take his own life back up again. Behold the man who emerged from the grave. Behold the man whose resurrection means our resurrection is for sure. Behold the man who today feeds us with his very body that rose from the dead in victory over death. Behold the man, and in him behold yourself, holy and whole, forgiven and free. In him behold the man or the woman you are now and will be fully when you arise in the new flesh from your own grave. Behold the God-man Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father who joins himself to us to make all who believe conquerors of death and children of the same Heavenly Father. So let us join Peter's amazement and rejoice. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And amen. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.